Morning, everyone. So this morning I'm going to talk to you about a heart for God. Last week we began at the beginning with Genesis. And as we go through the Bible from the beginning, the question that will be on our minds at some stage is, why did God create the universe and everything in it and us? And in thinking about that, I want to introduce you to how the heart was viewed within God's creation by the ancients, and then we'll look at God's heart. We're made in His image. The word heart occurs over 1,000 times in the Bible, and it denotes a person's center for both physical, emotional, intellectual, and moral activities. It was a completeness. To both ancient and modern peoples, it denotes the beating chest organ protected by the rib cage. Ancient people, however, understood the heart's function, the physical function, differently to today. From their point of view, the heart was the central organ that moved the rest of the body. Ancients ate to strengthen the heart and so revive the body. In Genesis 18:5, Abraham offers his weary guests food so that they might refresh their hearts and then go on their way. A hiddenness and inaccessibility of the physical heart gives rise to its figurative sense for anything that is remote and inaccessible. It's not on display. We only know the content of the heart when it's expressed. But why is the heart so important? In 1 Samuel 16:7, it said, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" In Jeremiah 17:10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man to his way according to the fruit of his doings." And in Corinthians 4:5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God." Our hearts are important to God. What goes on in our hearts interests God, because it's there that who we truly are resides. We need to examine our hearts, because it's from there that our thoughts and our actions come. They all come from our heart. Examine the secret places, because what is in our hearts will determine our thoughts and actions. If there is envy, sloth, anger, jealousy, sexual immorality, etc., it will taint everything we do. As in Matthew, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak of good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And also, more importantly, the mouth confesses what the heart trusts. In Proverbs, it says, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." Also in Romans, what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." And Deuteronomy is actually being referenced here. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. If your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you'll surely perish. So it's your heart that turns away. Therefore, it is always what comes out of your heart that's going to be judged. We need to take heed of the condition of our hearts. In the modern day, some of the heart's emotional, intellectual, moral functions are connected with the brain and glands. But the functions are not precisely the same. Firstly, currently the brain and mind is not normally associated with both rational and non-rational activities. The brain's normally associated with the rational activities. But the ancients did not separate them. Nowadays, the heart is not even considered as a repository of rational behavior. It's marginalized as expressing irrational and therefore not quite acceptable emotions. The ancients took a more holistic view of the heart. Secondly, the heart's reasoning, as well as its feeling, depends on its moral condition. Jesus said in Mark 20:21, and he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. That being said, we're blessed to know that the Spirit of God gives humans a new heart. In Jeremiah 31:33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put the law into their minds, and I'll write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here, it is completely rational laws that are written into the hearts of the Israelites. In Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh, that beating heart of flesh. And also, faith purifies the heart. So God, in Acts 15:8-9, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit. God knew the heart, so he gave them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. In Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Thirdly, nowadays we distinguish between the brain's thoughts and the person's actions. But in ancient times, the distinction between thought and action was inappropriate for the art. There was no distinction. Thoughts and actions were one, and they were all within the heart. It was all one. Everything that man did or expressed was an affair of the heart. And the Lord knows our heart in the full range of emotions. And the emotions I'm now going to talk about, there's a quote for each one in the Bible. The Lord knows our heart's joy, its sorrow, its raging, its peace, its feeling troubled, and its rejoicing, its love, and its selfish ambition, its modes of doubt and of fear, its modes of trusting, and when it rises up in repulsive pride, and when one loses heart or takes heart. The emotional state of the heart affects the whole person. The heart thinks, this is ancients, this is how they saw it. The heart thinks, remembers, reflects, meditates. Solomon's comprehensive knowledge of fauna and flora was described as the breadth of his heart. More specifically, as the eyes were meant to see and the ears to hear, the heart is meant to understand, to discern, to give insight. In Proverbs 2:10, wisdom will enter your heart. To them, it meant the same thing. When a person lacks insight, the Hebrew speaks of a lack of heart. Understanding cannot be separated from morals. In Deuteronomy, Moses says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. They're in our hearts. Not learned by rote, you must make it part of the very essence of you. The heart functioned also as a conscience. After David showed insubordination against the anointed king by cutting off the corner of his robe, his heart smote him. After Peter's sermon, the audience was cut to the heart. We have all been cut to the heart when we've done something that we realize is iniquitous. It's our conscience. But for the ancients, it was part of our heart. The heart may condemn us, but we always need to remember that God is greater than our hearts. The heart wishes and desires, and above all, the heart of a saint seeks God. Believers set their hearts on things above. We are reminded in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Finally, the heart plans, makes commitments, and decides. It's the inner forum where decisions are made after deliberation. In Proverbs 16:9, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And, if I can turn the page, above all else in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. You will understand how the heart was viewed in ancient times from this. It was central to the whole being of the person. Everything flowed from it. But what about the heart of God, who created the entire universe and everything in it? What are the desires of his heart? In John 14:9, Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus reveals the heart of God, which is to save you from eternal death as the consequence of sin. His desire is to save you from eternal damnation. His heart's desire is the best possible outcome for his children. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once you receive this gift, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you, as in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Therefore, it's impossible to know the heart of God without a personal relationship with Jesus. God's heart's desire is to guide yours, yet he also honors your choice. For if you make your way, honors your choice, if you may make your way apart from him, he warns you of the outcome and allows you to decide. In Proverbs 3:5-6, we are exhorted, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Understanding the heart of God will allow you to begin seeing yourself the way God sees you. His creation, redeemed, forgiven, blessed, adopted, predestined, treasured, sealed, accepted, and above all, loved. This frees you to live for him. Heart of God wants you to be free and empowered so you can reveal him to others. In Ephesians 1:3, just as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What an awe-inspiring notion that you were in his heart before he even started creating the world. But many things in this world fight for your attention and distract you. God knows what they are and invites you to turn to him to experience true peace. The heart of God wants you to experience peace no matter what your circumstances. That is why repentance is so necessary. Confess to God the things that pull your attention away from him, the things of your heart that stop you from drawing closer to him. In Romans 2:4, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? In other words, his heart towards you turns your heart towards him. In Corinthians 2:9-12, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. We have no idea of what God has in store for us individually, but we know that we are created in his image and made to worship him. That means living for him in everything. The heart of God is that you live a sanctified life. Sanctification is a process of being set apart. God doesn't expect you to live perfectly, but rather partner with him in the process of being set apart. God's heart is to have your mind and heart transformed, which includes worshiping and praising him in all things. In Colossians 3:23-24, and whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not to men. God desires to reveal his heart to you, and he does so in response to prayer and faithfulness. When you ask to know the heart of God, you can be sure he will answer this prayer, because it's his will for you to know him. But remember that in any relationship, getting to know someone intimately, it takes time. Extend grace to yourself as you embark on the journey of knowing the heart of our Creator. God delights in your desire to know him better. He's patient with you, so be patient with yourself. God's heart is that you see him as sovereign, holy, trustworthy, just, and full of love toward you, and that you reflect who he is to others, to know him and to make him known. And then let's remember Thessalonians 5:16-24. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, Christ in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we were created. Search your hearts. Make yourself pleasing to your Creator so that his heart may rejoice in you. Thank you, Lord.